Excuse me, at this time the call is being recorded. If we have any objections, you may disconnect. You may begin. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Shall I do a quick roll call for you?
Please.
On the IDN G Working Group call, we have Chuck Gomes, Avery Doria, Steve Del Bianco, and for staff, we have Olaf Nordling, Julie Headland, and Glenda Saint-Jury, myself. Thank you very much.
After silence.
Someone want to take the lead? I really didn't.
Yeah, I think you're stuck with it, Chuck.
Yeah.
Well,
you have the most status of anyone here.
I'm just status. I don't know if that's good or bad. I'm going to be driving, so is a possibility I may need somebody to pick up for me at some point. But let's just. Let me just repeat what I said before we started the recording. It seems to me our main objective is probably just to decide how we're going to finalize a motion that we can send to the council one of the counselors in the group can make, and then in light of that, finalize the wording of that motion. And I guess the one element is whether we should include the part about a working group, even if that working group doesn't start till later. What are people's thoughts on that?
Hi, this is Aubrey. I was relatively indifferent to that, although, I mean, I thought that given the council's new prioritization processes, you know, something that a working group that was pertinent only to round two, which it's so hard to imagine at the moment, is high on the priority list would surprise me. But I didn't really care whether we did one or didn't. But I think there were various people that did care.
Well, I noticed Edmund, I think, cared. Steve, did you have any opinions on that?
I do. Chuck and Aubrey, what I'm thinking is that if the working group were to be lucky enough to be prioritized, it would be making determinations at about the same time that these consultants would be evaluating the extended evaluation on StringCon. I mean, isn't there an opportunity that at least conversation would be relevant, even if it didn't affect the first round? We would have first round extended evaluations occurring while this working group was underway. I mean, it's too good of a coincidence to pass up. So I do think the working group should be begun, even if it's only intended to formally affect things that happen after the first round.
Now, I mean, I'm okay with that myself. Aubrey, I'm not unlike you, especially I was okay with the working group trying to work really fast, but there was clearly some strong opposition to that, and so it wasn't a big enough issue to me to fight over. Aubrey, what's your feeling?
Well, as you saw, I mean, I had originally written up which I thought was a compromise proposal on the work really fast that obviously brought some of our silent participants out of silence. And as I say, I'm very middle of the road on this. The only thing I truly was insistent upon, we all seem to agree on, which is no messing with initial valuation of round one. But beyond that, I think we have some members that aren't here that really do care and don't want a working. But as I say, while I'm in the middle, I'm willing to go either way on it. And
yeah, I am too.
Yeah,
Aubrey, here's Steve. Quick question for you. It's hard to speak for others, but would they be objecting to a working group because it interferes with other priorities, or do they fear that it could be used to perhaps even slow down round one?
It's really hard, as you say, to speak for others. I think certainly the first point is true. People are busy. I think, and none of them have voiced this to me in this environment, other people have voiced similar things to me in other environments, that any time we take on a working group to do something, a lot of people go, oh, okay, well, there's a good reason to hold off for a while. And so even if we tried to be really, really specific that this was only about round two and had no relevance for round one, although, as you already indicate, well, maybe it's useful for round one, there would be a possible, and I'm not, as I say, certainly not speaking for anyone other than my own ability to imagine anybody saying anything, is that some would sort of say this could be used as such an opportunity.
Yeah, and we know, I think, that Stefan, Adrian, and Tim are going to react negatively to anything that has the slightest possibility of causing delays. So I think that's pretty clear. Olaf, do you have something to add on this discussion? You're welcome to.
Nah, not really on whether to have a working group or not. I mean, I suppose you can scope it and set conditions for how that should be run or not, and whether it make it clear whether it is supposed to affect round one or not. So I guess that's really in your hands. What I think may be just a thought is really more on extended evaluation, and that is if the line suggests is just to open for extended evaluation on string similarity. I think the corollary question to that is really, okay, when would, in what circumstances would confusing similarity not be detrimental? That may be a useful addition to whatever motion you make.
Well, the problem with that, and correct me if you think I'm wrong on this, Aubrey, because I'm pretty sure you're fully aware of where I'm coming from here. That's what she tried to do, and I just tried to follow the same line of thinking, I think, you know, in terms of the modifications I suggested to the motion, but there was strong reaction to that.
Yeah, that is what I was trying to say. I think, though, what people would argue is that basically people are going to have to, if there is an extended evaluation without having set in priority some sort of policy on it, it's basically the assumption, and this has been said by people, that these people that we have doing the evaluation are not a bunch of dummies, and if you present a case for showing why something is not detrimental, they'll be able to make pay out of it, they'll be able to understand, and they would be able to decide. I think in trying to a priori set the conditions over what that might be is where too many possibilities get opened up, too many things have to be discussed. I mean, when we start discussing that and we start getting into the nitty-gritty of that, then we'll probably find Chuck and I throwing things at each other again at some point.
Oh, I'll shut up from now on.
And that was amusing at best. But, you know, because, and it's not just Chuck and I, but it's other people that have basically oppositional views on various of these points. We'll have to discuss those in depth, and it'll get hot and heavy over definitions of terms and what's this and what's that. So it may be better to sort of say, listen, just you know, these evaluation committee people are smart people, and you're going to pick them because of their breadth and depth and wealth of experience, et cetera. If somebody does want to present a case, either an incumbent registry or an applicant registry who has been kicked out because of similarity, they'll present a case, you know, and that case will probably be open and commented upon, and then these intelligent, wise people will be able to make a decision.
Aubrey, can I comment on that? This is Steve.
Of course.
I think that these smart people will try to be smart about limiting their risk, the risk of creating lawsuits over their decisions. And I think that being smart in that case means they will look to documents that were handed to them to guide their evaluation criteria and process. And I don't know, does anybody know whether draft applicant guidebook version 4 is to include staff's guidance for the evaluation process on screen similarity to any greater extent than V3 did?
Well, I guess I should respond to that, and there are no plans for big changes as it runs right now.
All right, so let's assume for a moment that DAG V3 contains the only written guidance for the evaluators. Does that mean they have a lot of discretion, too much discretion, not enough discretion? Because I do think that this experiment of new GTLDs will lead people in a litigious environment that we have to be risk averse, and they won't try to be too, they won't use their intelligence, Aubrey. In other words, they'll be scared to be too creative, knowing that legal challenges will be the result of the loser in any win-lose determination that they make. And I think that argues for trying to give guidance as soon as we can without holding up the process, so that the intelligent people can point to something in writing that they use to make their evaluations rather than, you know, cook them up out of whole cloth.
I don't know that we'll be able to give them anything clearer very quickly than what already shows up in the GNSO recommendation and its whole paper history. I know there's a proper legal term for all the paper that feeds into an ultimate document, but I don't know that name, or I don't remember that word. But anyhow, that's what they have. I doubt that at any quick point, unless that's truly a focus, that we would have anything that would be more definitive. So, for example, within the documentation that we have, both Chuck and I feel totally justified in saying our particular point of view is represented, even though sometimes those things diverge. And as you say, yes, in a litigious society, you know, the winner or loser is going to, but they're going to have to take their chance because one way or another somebody's going to win or lose. So, I mean, I just don't know that we can, with any certainty, affirm that we'd be able to give them anything more, especially if our goal isn't to achieve that.
I understand. Does DAG V3, I know it isn't the goal, but I have this suspicion that this means by the time extended evaluations would kick in, that timing could coincide. And they would not be in writing, and it wouldn't
right.
Govern.
The other thing I think we have to realize is that until we've sent the letter to the staff asking to put in extended evaluations, and they've responded to that request, we don't even know if there's going to be extended evaluation. I mean, we're sort of presuming that because we make the request, it will happen. I'm not ready to make that assumption. I mean, I think it's a reasonable request. Otherwise, I wouldn't be part of suggesting it. But obviously, we have no idea whether they'll, you know, and they certainly haven't said, oh, we've listened to everything you've said already. Don't bother with the request. We see that it's reasonable and we're doing it. So obviously the inclination is to jump on doing it.
Yeah, and I agree with Aubrey. That it would be very unreasonable for staff to deny our request. Did you hear that, Olaf?
I'm listening. Come on.
But you notice he didn't jump in and said, yeah, we decided it was reasonable and we're already working on it. Don't bother with the letter.
willingness of counsel to undertake a working group to define the terms for the extended evaluation, you know, helps to support the request. It's not like you're just tossing the ball to staff and telling them to cook something up. We're volunteering to do the work. We're not saying when it will be done, and we're not trying to use it to hold up the first round, but I think that you're right. That should be a request that's honored.
And the problem, though, with us suggesting, I think it's right to say, yeah, we're willing to help staff in doing that, which I think we have been all the way along in terms of implementation. But I don't think we can get away with having anything like that in a motion, in the motion itself, just because of the reaction we saw we already got. Because I think that's all Aubrey and I were trying to do in that motion, the way it was drafted. But you saw the reaction that came from that, right, Steve?
Indeed.
Yeah. So that's what I'm worried about, and I'd like to keep this as simple as possible, and that's why maybe just a very simple motion. And I was okay with. Are those of us on the call comfortable with the way Aubrey suggested it in the latest language she sent? I don't know. She wasn't formally proposing language, but I think it was pretty close.
I mean,
yes.
I was suggesting that we have a letter and a motion to send that letter.
Yeah, I would be.
I thought that was fine. That was consistent with what I saw in the first part of the motion that was proposed anyway, that started with Aubrey. So it seems to me, can somebody take, I had suggested some edits. You can ignore my edits about the start of the motion, I think, for now. We're going to have to let Edmund make his own case to the rest of the group if he wants to pursue the working group thing further. It's unfortunate he's not on the call, but there was enough violent reaction to that idea that I didn't think it was worth spending a lot of time on. The council can always start another working group later, and I think that would be a very good idea for round two. Another issue with regard to prioritization, I'm jumping around a little bit, but is, you know, for something that's going to be effective after round one, I think it's going to get a really low prioritization on the in the council's prioritization exercise anyway. So if we miss that exercise, I don't see it really having a lot of impact, but that's my own personal opinion.
There's one other thing. I mean, if we put together a motion and a letter to send the letter, and then, of course, the council can have their own version of this conversation, and Edmund would be there, you know, Tim and Stefan and you, Chuck, would be there. And if the council at that point said, hey, we think getting a working group formed would be a good idea. IDNG, cobble us together a charter we can vote on in the future. Then they can ask us to still do that. But at least the letter that makes the request is on the way, and then Edmund can make his sort of his case to all the council members about why we really should start on the second level work. And you know, Steve, you and I aren't there, but we can talk to our respective representatives and let them know our view of it one way or another. And you know, the council can come back and say, you know, write us a charter. The council can come back and say, yep, we accept the letter. Good thing you didn't do a charter because we don't want it.
That's very well said. So is there someone who can kind of take, unfortunately, the rest of the week I'm very tied up, actually trying to take some time off and it's succeeding a little bit.
I, by the way, told people that was not your job description and I didn't understand that.
I understand it, Aubrey, as you know. Can somebody, I mean...
I mean, I wrote the first one. I could take your comments and the letter that I had and, you know, float something tomorrow.
And just to keep things a little lighthearted, could you say, we unanimously agreed on the call that here's the language...
I always put jokes in the middle of what I write. Not everybody always recognizes it to you, but there's always something there.
I know. So anyway.
It's a bit like the Roman Empire. Very before it was an empire, when you had a triumvirate. So three governors.
Right. What a triumvirate we would see.
Yeah.
Okay, sure. So I'll float something based upon what I started and your comments and what people have said. And see what it goes. We have one more week now to get it on the table?
Yeah, I think it's by the, well, actually, we have a little more than a week, actually. But it'd be nice if we have plenty of time to get agreement with the people on in our little group, or at least this maximum agreement from our from the IDNG participants. And I don't think that should be too hard. Both Tim and Stefan came back positive when I, you know, clarified something that I think they didn't understand. So I think we should be in pretty good shape. We know that Edmund has a concern, but that could be dealt with at the council level too.
That's right.
Thanks, Avery. I appreciate that.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
Chuck and Avery, while I have you here, I wanted to observe that when the IDNG working group got started, there was an ambition, an aspiration, to try to address the giant disparity between IDNs on the CC side in their fast track and the IDNs we would get on the G side. And we've all given up on any notion of a faster track for IDNG. And yet, there's another working group spawned just last week on applicant support that holds out promise of incentivizing applicants to add more IDN versions of their GTLDs or subsidizing applicants who might want to serve a small linguistic community with a GTLD that's an IDN. And that was, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't that part of our original aspiration when we came together? It wasn't just this string similarity, but trying to get IDNs in the G space to compete with and offer alternatives and choices for users who would only get IDNs in the C space.
I think that the equalization at that time that was looked on is to try and get a fast track so that we could come out at the same time as the IDN CCTLDs with IDN GTLDs. And that will obviously not be happening, and I don't know if it ever really stood a chance. To give a slight anecdote on it, I did have an exchange with Chris Spain recently. You know, he knows how hard I fought to make sure that all IDN CLDs came out at the same time. But having watched the discussions and the synchronicity issues that went on, over the last couple months, I'm all of a sudden thinking that perhaps we're gaining a little bit of sanity by actually following them through this in terms of some of these issues. Because some of the issues to do with ethnicity that we haven't talked about here because we've rightly avoided it are really fascinating and hard topics.
And Aubrey, the lessons learned will be for naught. Applicants don't even bother to propose IDN scripts LD. In other words, and that's where this other working group can provide the needed, incentive, subsidy, whatever you want to call it, but at least focus a light on the fact that I was just on the phone with the people at PIR, but if .org is going to do one or two scripts like Korean or Japanese, there ought to be ways to make it easier for them to propose scripts, IDN languages that don't necessarily double, that are not proportionally expensive. Otherwise, all these lessons learned will be for naught because there won't be IDNG, smaller linguistic community.
We were on it.
Yeah. Although I'm not sure that this group will be worried about whether .org can afford it, or be worried about the little Korean outfit that wants to do it, or the little Kenyan outfit that wants to do it.
But as long as somebody wants to do it, Avery, isn't that the key, right? As long as somebody wants to do a Korean.org, it matters probably less who does it, as long as somebody does it. And we've created such significant hurdles to get into this round that I'm just afraid we won't get enough IDNs in the G space for the application space.
It'll be interesting to see that meeting tomorrow.
You joining that group?
Yeah, I've joined it.
Great.
That's the wall.
So did I, in a sense.
You're our advisor now.
I'm staff support.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah.
That's what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah. Advisor, no.
No. Forgive me. Okay, so we're done.
Yes, I think so. Thanks, everybody.
Wait, call. I'll talk to you.
Bye-bye. Okay. Good talking to you. Bye-bye now.
Thank you. Bye.
At this time, that will conclude today's conference. You may disconnect, and thank you for your attendance.